Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 283, episode 3 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm feeling a little hot. Gonna adjust there. Okay. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, April 12th, 2023.
My day. My day.
It's your day?
National Only Child Day.
Hey.
Okay, there's like Sibling Day. I remember that came around, and I just would look at a empty picture frame, no sibling, but it's Only Child Day. National Colorado Day, you know what
Colorado.
I mean? National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. National Big Win Day.
That thing came all the way from Colorado.
Hey, Reddit, this here is called the Silver Bullet. Come here and talk to your Uncle Baby Billy real quick. From Colorado. Also, National Licorice Day. I don't know
that. I have a new Swedish friend who's gotten me into all sorts of different... Like, have you ever had salty licorice?
No.
This is really good. Like, it's not only salty,
hold on, Jack,
but there's like a salty.
Hold on. You got new friends? What the fuck?
I got
fuck
a
is
new
this?
Swedish friend. Yeah, man.
Stop rubbing it in my face that you go off, you leave for 2 weeks, and you're like, I got this new Swedish friend.
I got this new pal. He's Swedish. He's
Lars.
Exotic.
He's cool.
He teaches me all sorts of cool stuff about licorice. Salty licorice. Oh man.
Shit. Well, no,
what
I've not
a,
had
hey,
that.
April
not had
12.
That. Yeah.
Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, aka Jackaraquai, virtual anxiety. I'm talking basement jacks.
Okay.
Where's your head jack?
Okay.
Jacked punk, the jacking pumpkins, the white thighs, or the jacking tours, or the counting crow Bryants. Those are all courtesy of Hanoramic View on Discord.
Shout out to Hannah.
You. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I'm being real loud, but I'm just making sounds. And please don't ask me what I'm singing. I think he's saying something about a bullet. A loaded guy, Tom Flex, rocking a mullet. Okay, shout out to Catastrophic Failure.
It's weird that he went to the actual lyrics at the end there of the
A loaded
AKA.
Guy, Tom Flex, rocking a mullet.
Yeah, that's the real words.
Christy Yamaguchi, man, see you out there. Thank you for that one. Because, yeah, again.
Every time he enters the arena, you think we're booing because we're actually yelling, Yamaguchi!
Why are they booing him? No, it's his name. It's his name.
It's his name.
Exactly. That was like when the Dodgers, when Raul Mondesi played. It would
Raul.
Be like, Raul! And I remember all the time that you knew someone was a Herb when they're like, why are they booing? I'm like, it's fucking
yeah,
Raul Mondesi.
They just got to start
yeah,
booing.
Yeah, boo, fucking throw. Mondesi. Whoa, easy.
Hey. Well, we are thrilled to be joined by a very funny comedian and writer who co-hosts the food podcast Yelling About Pate and host of the live pop-up comedy food wine show, Amuse Bouche. Please welcome back to the show. It's Carl Hayes!
Oh my God. Happy to be here. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I have had salty licorice and it's delicious.
Isn't it good?
Your Swedish friend is right.
Wait, what is salty licorice?
Your bouche is amused when you have that shit.
It's like the savory version of licorice, pretty much. Yeah.
So it tastes like meat?
Yeah. It tastes like a nice steak.
I'm like, favorite, juicy, like, what, cheddar and onion.
I mean, the one that I had was salty one side, sweet on the other.
Yeah, they'll have a licorice steak in Sweden. You cut it with a fork and knife. Yeah. Real juicy in the interior.
That's the only steak they have there.
I recently had a sous vide salty licorice patty. It was fantastic.
I bet it was great. Yeah.
Carl, tell me about amuse-bouche. Because before you're talking, you're like, I'm combining comedy, food, and wine. And I'm like dinner theater?
Kind of. Actually, a lot like that. It's a pop-up food and wine party that we do at a Melody Wine Bar in Virgil Villas, natural wine bar. Okay. And basically, we have two different guest chefs every show. We have different wines on special. Sometimes we have a winemaker there. And then your ticket gets you the food. You buy wine from the bar. Everybody gets drunk. And then we have like a tight comedy show. Tightest show in town. It's an hour long. Three comedians. Yeah. You know, you've seen these LA comedy shows. Yeah. They're booking 9-10 people. Nobody needs that much comedy in their life.
Too much comedy.
Yeah. No one needs, I say no one needs over 90 minutes of any content, really. Yeah. Movies, comedy, but definitely not stand-up comedy. So yeah, we do a tight one-hour show.
It's a palate cleanser course of comedy.
Exactly. Then we have a DJ, we dance, we do the Peron, which if you don't know is a Spanish glass drinking instrument where you pour wine into your mouth from a great height.
Oh, is that like that thing with like a long spout?
Yeah. That features prominently into the entire show.
So what, do people like just bib up or whatever before they go?
No,
they
wear their Sunday's best. You got to raw dog it, baby. That's what it's all about.
Red wine splattering everywhere?
No, we don't use red. If you're not actively a Spaniard, I do not encourage Peroning red wine. That's high level shit. You start with white.
As someone who likes to, you know, sometimes have a Baja Blast, and I am willing to appropriate Spanish culture, I feel like I'm ready for pour the Rioja down my gullet.
Yeah, I would say Perona Baja Blast and see how that goes. And then, you know, then move from there.
Yeah, start that.
I've shotgunned them before, so.
That's a terrible
I think I shotgunned them with Miles at my house. Didn't we shotgun a
I think I watched you do it, and then I looked at Her Majesty, and she's like.
She was like, she gave you a subtle nod, shake of the head.
She was like, she dialed a divorce lawyer, and she's about to hit send.
Right. I recently had a flaming hot Mountain Dew, actually. And it, you know what? It wasn't disgusting like I thought it was going to be. Was not hot at all, which was my I was like, this should be a little bit spicy. I know
it
you
has
can't make
the
it.
Whisper, the hint of like the spiciness of ginger beer.
Exactly. What is it like? I wanted it to scald my esophagus with chemical burns. But
right. Yeah. Well, look, they can't really do like. Did you hear about like how people who are eating Chipotle now? They're like, the hot sauce is way too hot now. It got way too hot, and like people are fucking freaking out about it.
We're all so soft.
And I'm like, come on. But it turns out that like Chipotle was like, I mean, we get it from the same places all the time, but then they suspect it was a batch of like these chilies that they got from India that may be slightly hotter. And like, I forget, super producer Victor sent me the article because I love hearing about people who are like, too spicy. And they're like, it was just a little couple Scovilles above normal.
Right.
So whatever.
Peppers can be wildly, you know, there's a spectrum. Sometimes you get a jalapeno, you're like, this is mild. Sometimes you get a jalapeno that fucks your day up.
Or even like a shishito pepper you can have.
Shishito
wonderful.
Can sneak up on you.
Yeah, they will jump you in an alley when you least expect it.
You didn't expect it. You thought it was going to be a nice little appetizer. Yeah. Roasted?
You like the bonito flakes on it? Guess what, motherfucker? This is a spicy one.
All right, Carl, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about Ted Cruz's prescription for fixing the school shooting problem in America. Treat schools like banks. He said that a week ago, and then there was a mass shooting in a bank. We'll talk about that and some new gun statistics. We're going to talk about this Harvard alum, McKinsey alum, who is openly advocating for bringing back public lynchings in San Francisco, but like doesn't seem to know that that's what she's, I don't know. It's Michelle Tandler on Twitter. Go check her out. We'll talk about her. We'll talk about how the right is celebrating Super Mario for its anti-wokeness and also blasting Super Mario for its wokeness same film. We'll talk about the Bodyguard musical causing people to sing along like while the show is happening.
Did you see that clip of the recent one?
They can't stop and it like turned into a riot.
You thought these women were like advocating for gun control the way they were fucking ripped out of their seats and like taken out of the theater. It was something else.
And then we have some good news. We don't always just give outright good news here, but you can now order Domino's pizza while driving.
Oh, finally.
Thank you.
Apple's my CarPlay.
Did you watch the promotional video?
No, we're going to have to, though, before we talk about it.
It's a blast. All of that, plenty more. But first, Carl, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
You know, I've been doing a lot of Googling about like how hard it is actually to like move into the woods, like off the grid, you know, like what's actually involved in that. Because I think about that, I feel like more and more these days with increasing frequency, I'm like, I should just like move into the woods and just like never come back, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I think logistically it's kind of tough. It's like, you're going to need a goat. You're going to need some chicken.
Yeah.
Like you're going to need a defensive perimeter of some kind.
Is that what they tell you?
Well, you need to raise your own food if you're going off the grid. So, you know, I'm going to need my eggs.
Yeah.
you can't be doing car ordering of Domino's once you're off the grid. You know?
CarPlay won't work in your car once you're off the grid.
So,
obviously.
Yeah, and then you probably have to form like a defensive perimeter of some kind because there'll be raiders.
This is
of
so
some
funny,
variety.
Dude. I just watched the third episode of Last of Us, and this is exactly what Nick Offerman's character was going through. And I was like, I've always been like, yeah, I wonder what it'd be like. And watching him go through it, like trying to do this shit solo, I was like, oh, that's way too much work, bro. I'm not going to do animal husbandry and shit.
Yeah.
Fucking.
I haven't seen that show, but that appeals to me. And you're right. I think the actual reality of it, you're like, damn, a lot of manual labor.
You could watch that episode actually in a vacuum because it's kind of like just sort of specifically to this character within the show. And it's just like all about this dude who's like surviving the zombie apocalypse. Who's like, he's like a prepper and he's like, now's my time.
Right.
And you're like, I'm like, wow, you've got it all, but it looks incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
You probably had to act so hard to make it look difficult for him. Nick Offerman.
Right. Because it'd be a breeze for him in real life.
Oh yeah. He's like, I could make all of this out of wood right
Many
now.
Complex machines out of
wood. I have most of the wooden tools I need. I made them in my shop.
I can actually do it without any nails. I'm an expert in Japanese joinery.
He was in the studio the other day.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, have you heard his real laugh?
Yeah,
it's the best.
It's
the
awesome.
Best shit ever. It's like when it happens, it's such a treat. I remember interviewing him once and he laughed for real and I was like, wait, is this a bit, dude?
That's great.
Like he laughs like that.
Like goofy?
Yeah, like it's so different than because he'll be like, yeah, and I remember meeting a fan who got a, you know, Ron Swanson tattoo with me making a pizza.
He's a goof at heart, you can tell.
Totally. But it's just so funny when outwardly everyone just thinks of him as being this such like superly stoic guy when he's really just like a theater kid who loves carpentry and laughing.
I went and saw when I was I think it was like late teen or early 20s, I guess. I went to the Craig Kilborn show. He was having Clint Eastwood on his show. And like he had this thing throughout the early years of the Craig Kilborn show where like Clint Eastwood was this like masculinity, like badass, like icon. And he like had him on and interviewed him. And Clint Eastwood was just like, yeah, I'm like into jazz and stuff. Really like jazz and playing instruments. And it was just like Craig Kilborn was so disappointed. It was great.
Oh, hold on. There's somebody made a montage of him giggling.
Not Clint Eastwood. He's never giggled before.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a goofy. That was goofy. Yeah. There it is. That's funny.
Amazing.
What a charmer.
Yeah. 100%.
Delight. What's something you think is overrated?
Oh, man. You know, I've been seeing them a lot in the news and maybe more so recently. The robot dogs. I just think making robots in general is overrated. And like, why do who is supporting the robot dogs? Like, I know people like them. Like, why are we doing
this? Oh, yeah.
US military.
Every time I see this, I'm like, this is a terrible idea.
Well, yeah.
It's the US military and the family that made that and will be billionaires for five generations going forward, I think, are the... Prime beneficiaries.
I'm gonna say designing robots that will eventually kill us, very overrated.
Yeah.
Don't know why we're putting resources toward this. Well, I mean, I do know why, but
you know what's so funny? I feel like within 2 months, those fucking like Boston Dynamics robots have gone in the fucking trash because of what AI's been doing. Where we're like, yeah, shut up, you fucking weird robot.
AI's
that can lift
writing
something.
A script. Yeah. Be quiet.
Yeah, this guy's writing this fucking AI is writing Ace Ventura 4 as a spec. And it's fucking really good.
And it's good.
It's actually
better
good.
Than Ace Ventura 2.
It nails it without the transphobia of the first one.
Yeah. I like that they skipped Ace Ventura 3.
Yes. Yeah. The AI knew that wasn't necessary. I'm going right to 4.
You know the reason I even said 4 is cuz I know somebody whose partner was writing Ace Ventura 3 as a spec, and I remember it was like this thing where I'd always be like, "Oh, that's such a bummer, dude." Like, I don't want to tell you. Like, I don't, there might be a better way to get your foot in the door as a writer than writing Ace Ventura 3 on spec. But hey,
but what if it was amazing? Own. Then you would have
I know,
your pick
part of me
job.
Wants to see it. But you know how like jaded people are in this industry too? Like you hear an idea and you're like, oh, the era of writing a really funny spec script to get in is like, that was like 12 years ago.
Well, what about the Seinfeld 9/11 spec script? Right. That guy got, you know.
Yeah, Alex Sulkin. Right. Le Sulk, who is now what, like a Family Guy writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for him.
Yeah.
He's developing a bunch of robotic.
There it is. Ace Ventura versus the robot dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. There
pet
you go.
Detective now.
He's a pet detective. The pets are being replaced with robots. It's perfect.
There it is.
What is something you think is underrated?
Something that I did recently for the first time, maybe ever in my adult life, I did not look at my phone for an entire day. I didn't even have it on for an entire day.
Wow.
And I feel like it's been... I don't know if I've ever actually done that completely, like fully committed to it. I was backpacking in Joshua Tree, and it was really more like a day and a half, actually. And I was like, I'm just going to turn off my phone and just fucking rock with the natural world, baby.
There you go.
And you know what? It felt pretty good.
I mean, no anxiety?
You know, there was a little bit of it, but sure. I don't know. It was actually really relaxing. I don't know. Like everyone, I'm always looking at my phone. It's always on me. It's always in my hand. I think just like not having that weight, that psychic weight was, it was refreshing. But of course I immediately was like, oh shit, gotta get on Instagram and see
what
I
missed.
So what'd
you do? Like make eye contact with the people you were like walking around with?
I was by myself. So I was on kind of like a solo, like spirit quest in the middle of the desert.
Disgusting.
Yeah, how did you take pictures of everything you saw to prove that you were there?
It's funny. I was thinking that, and every time I saw something cool, I was like, ooh, I should turn on my phone and take a picture of that. And then I was like, calm down. You got this.
Easy, boy.
Push through. Easy. Easy. You don't need to photograph everything. Look at it with your mind and remember it with your brain.
Be present and look at it.
Exactly.
What?
I was trying.
What the fuck are you talking
I was trying
about?
Hard, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. There's something like to what you're getting at is like when you're able to replace the feeling of like, you know, when you have your phone, it's sort of there to be like, oh, well, if I fucking need to think about something or do something, I can always look at this.
Exactly.
But when you can replace that with like, you know, being in nature or like building something or doing whatever, like playing music, that's really like when you're like, oh yeah, this is living. When you realize when you feel like I don't need to reach for that phone. Yeah.
Also, I think I remember it better. I don't know if it's because of COVID or how time has warped because of COVID. I just feel like my memory in recent years is just like terrible. Like,
yeah, my brain.
I can't remember anything before COVID. Like someone's like, oh, remember like this 2018? I'm like, no, absolutely not. Yeah. What are you talking about? Anything before COVID, anything during COVID? I'm like, this is all missed.
I still conflate the summer of 2020 and 2021.
Oh, yeah.
I have the hardest time differentiating between the two. Like, and I'm always like, wait, oh, no, right. I didn't have a vaccine that summer.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know if I just put my brain into like cryo freeze or something.
Yeah, it was like a lost year. Months. We were like the lost generation, World War One style. It was just like, what happened? What even happened in there?
What even happened, man?
And World War One was the time that there was a similar pandemic. that yeah, shut everything
that's
down
true.
For a long
time. It
was time.
Like 100 years later, 2019 yeah. to like 1919.
It's a fun tradition. It's a fun little tradition yeah, we
every,
have.
Every 100 years, we bring it back around.
Unlike any other, the global pandemic that blacks you out for 2 years of your life. I have been noticing, talking about the robot dog and getting technology out of our lives, that it seems like things are coming to a head in the public consciousness with regards to AI and just like freaking out about it. Like I've noticed, you know, in the mainstream, like drudge for the past couple of days, the four like main headlines that are in red are all about like, everyone's freaking out about AI, like industry leaders are pulling the plug on AI. Like, do we have a good reason for that? Do we think that it, like for the people, the current power structure is just like too destabilizing? Is it because Ace Ventura 4 Pet Detective versus Prime Directive was so good that they just like...
Hollywood writers know that they're shit out of luck. They're like, pull the plug.
Oh yeah, yeah. The writer strike is coming up.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. WGA like, is like, this won't stand.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the one thing that like got my attention was when a lot of the like leaders in AI, like in the development of it, that like pioneered a lot of the stuff, were like, "Yeah, you may want to just we need to think about how quickly this is developing before it has like general right. intelligence and is able to teach itself like a human does." And then you know, then they're like, "Think of just how much better bot based propaganda is going to be." And like, it's like for purposes of like political messaging or these other things that we're still not sure like what it's going to do. That's when I'm like, oh, I can see that. But right now I'm just like, what the fuck? Like it's passing this, like it diagnosed a 1 in 100,000 medical condition. And then they're like, there's doctors being like, it is pretty good at that. It just, it's also kind of dumb too, but it's just sort of, I think, remarkable, like the amount of intelligence that's going to just sort of be readily available to people. I don't know. I mean, that's why I'm like, I'm willing to be like, what's it going to do? Because I see that it can do a lot, but when will it be sort of like applied in that way where like, oh, this is absolutely fucked up.
Has there ever been in the history of humanity a technological innovation where they were just like, that's progress, but that's too much progress, and we're just going to like hold off for now? Like during World War II, like they blamed a lot of the rise of fascism on the innovation of the loudspeaker.
Yeah.
Like the guy who invented the loudspeaker, like blamed himself for the rise of Hitler.
He's like, he was just so loud. You couldn't tune him out.
He couldn't stop listening.
Making all kinds of crazy points, but you couldn't shut it out.
Like, I'm just wondering, is there anything to be done other than just like work really hard to figure out how to use the AI to counter the propaganda that's being generated?
Well, more than that too, right? It's like, how much of it is done that we're actually looking at a future where if we're going to get this kind of massive efficiency at this scale, like then what does that say about human labor and what are we pivoting to? Because you can already see people beginning to use it more and more. It's not quite getting to the levels where like whole departments are being replaced, but we see how capitalism works. Like if they're like, oh yeah, I can slash budgets because I know three people that knows how to use ChatGPT really well. That's where I'm like, are we actually figuring out where this is headed? And super producer Brian is now just saying, he's like, what if the AI is not aligned with human needs to begin with? That's where a lot of problems can begin to show themselves, because it's going to be able to like learn things like a human does.
I think the scariest ramifications are going to be like in the world of these deep fakes. And like, you're kind of already seeing it. It's like, once deepfakes become, you know, indistinguishable from reality, which is
to the naked eye,
like,
right?
I mean, we're in like a post-reality, post-truth world anyway. But like, once deepfakes are to the point where you can't really discern if it's, you know, generated or not, then it's like, there's going to be total chaos at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe the first thing will be like a AI version of like the War of the Worlds radio play.
Right. Yeah, someone will release something to the internet that, you know, looks real and there's no way to tell it's not real.
And it'll take a long time, or like a few days will pass before enough people are like, it's not fucking real, my God.
Yeah, or political blackmail. You know, there's lots of fun stuff you could use it for.
I was shocked that Trump didn't move quick enough to just claim the Access Hollywood tape was a deep fake.
Like, he doesn't know what a deepfake is. Yeah. He doesn't know what that is.
At that point, yeah.
That's the problem with artificial general intelligence.
When I heard it, though, was... he's going to claim this is a deep fake. Anyways. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about gun control.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. So in response to the recent Nashville school shooting, which was the big shooting before the Louisville school shooting, Ted Cruz reintroduced his Securing Our Schools Act, which will call for cops in schools, which I'm assuming would be less fun than when Arnold Schwarzenegger did it in the early 90s, Kindergarten Cop.
We can only hope. We can only hope that that's what it's like.
So that's best case. We've seen best case scenario.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Exactly. Imagine him like in the LA public school. And he's like, right. I'm Detective John Kimball. Like, he's like,
not
oh,
the
shit.
Tumor.
Oh, yes. My God. Like, oh, yeah, tumor having head ass. Get the, sit down, you fucking loser.
Head ass. But Ted Cruz's plan is basically to fix mass shootings, not with gun control laws, but with more guns and police. And he used banks as an example of how we should be treating kids, because what kid wouldn't want to go learn to read and write in a bank vault-like environment? So obviously, since the next big mass shooting was in a bank, everyone is publicly mocking Ted Cruz because it's just literally 10 days after he was like, we just need to be more like banks, everyone. But this is all coming out at the same time as a report from Hugh and the CDC that says that gun deaths among U.S. kids increased 50% between 2019 and 2021. This is like massive, like it shot up. And this is at a time when gun ownership and just the amount of guns in U.S. homes shot up. So gun deaths of all sorts are rising. Gun suicides are way up because gun ownership is way up. And you know, as I've talked about numbers of times, like guns cause suicides. Like there's a one-to-one correlation between like you're more likely to have a suicide in your house if you have a gun in your house. Like this goes back to other things like the British coal gas study, which I'm mocked for bringing up all the time.
Hey, but it's about means reduction.
Means reduction, exactly. And just taking the opportunity, like suicides oftentimes are crimes of passion and crimes of opportunity committed against oneself. But it's also, you know, there's also plenty of evidence that that's true of homicides. That, like,
right.
You know, the homicides that we see in TV shows that are carefully plotted out, the exception, and usually it's somebody having the worst day of their life and having access to a gun. There's also a bunch of, like, really troubling data that they are able to point at but not actually report about gun injuries from emergency rooms, because the gun industry and gun lobbies have made it like, they only have this data going back to, like, the late 90s, because the gun industry has been making it almost impossible for them to collect data on gun injuries and gun deaths, you know, because they have massive amounts of money, and that's what makes things happen, is whoever has the most money. And the gun industry has way more money than the CDC. So we're working with limited data sets still, but it's pretty clear cut. Gun ownership causes gun death. It's really that simple. Gun ownership went up because the gun industry is constantly marketing itself to people and, you know, making shitloads of money off of selling guns to people.
It's the Homer Simpson beer quote. Guns, the cause of and solution to all life's problems.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the loop we're in. And there's also another poll or, like, study that came out from the Kaiser Foundation that just talking about, like, the effect on people that all this gun violence has had. Like, they talk about how 1 in 5 say they have personally been threatened with a gun. Okay. Like, just 1 in 5, right? 1/3 of Black adults and Hispanic adults, around 33%, say they worry either every day or almost every other day, or almost every day, about themselves or someone they love being a victim of gun violence, compared to 1 in 10 in white adults. Because another thing is, too, this also disproportionately affects communities of color, especially Black people.
Of course. Yeah.
And 1 in 5 Black adults and Hispanic adults feel like gun-related crimes, deaths, and injuries are a, quote, constant threat to their local community, and that is only around 8% with white adults. Then when you talk about, like, the effects it has on people's behaviors, right? 84% of U.S. adults say they have taken at least one precaution to protect themselves or their families from the possibility of gun violence, including talking to their kids or family about gun safety or purchasing a weapon other than a gun. About a third, 35% of people said they've avoided large crowds, such as music festivals or crowded bars and clubs, to protect themselves or their families from the possibility of gun violence. 3 in 10 have purchased a gun to protect themselves or their family from the possibility of gun violence.
Yeah. Which is the one part of this that people can make money off of. And in America, that's the one thing that gets emphasized and raised to the surface and, you know, put on steroids, is whatever the thing that money can be made off of. And the purchase of guns as the solution to fear of guns seems to be the only option that people know of, that they're aware of, that really seems to be, because everything else you're just told, like, well, you can't take guns away from people because everybody will just flip out. But
so then you should buy more.
It's worked in other countries before. There's no reason, like, it's going to take years and probably, like, massive changes, but it's happened before. And I don't see why. I know people who, like, grew up in the Midwest and the South are like, yeah, nice, like, that's just you being ignorant. But I think everybody thought that in those other countries. And then, you know, there was an event that was bad enough to change people's opinion. So, I don't know.
Well, based on how we problem solve in this country, once these stats are like 99% of people have been threatened with a gun, maybe then something will happen. Because right now, especially when you look at the disparity between the threats of gun violence between certain populations, and, you know, if that only 8% are affected, but they're controlling, you know, 85% of the policy decisions.
Yeah.
You understand why that, like, there's just a complete disconnect from what the actual, you know, threats to our safety are and their willingness to do it. Because, yeah, it's so fucking cowardly to not even attempt to do something about it and just use the argument of, like, well, what are you going to do? You know, I guess treat it like a bank.
Yeah. More guns, I think, is the everything that we just talked about. I think the answer is more guns or a RoboCop type scenario. I don't know.
Ask ChatGPT what it thinks.
Yeah, exactly. Get the AI in here. I'm a huge John Wick fan, but I have to take this opportunity to say that movies like the John Wick franchise they make guns look a little too cool. And yeah. That's
love
part
a bit of,
the problem.
Of gunfu. You know what I mean? Got a new term for it. I like how they're like, but here's the thing, man. We don't use like blanks like on our sets. We don't even have to do that. I think is like the way they're like, we're a little bit more forward thinking for a film that has a ton of gunplay in it.
Right.
Put those in cool. a post. You know what I mean?
All right. And we have this Harvard McKinsey alum in San Francisco who I think is part of another trend we're seeing, which is wealthy, seemingly well-intentioned upper class people showing their true colors and being insulated enough to be like, what? I'm just saying the Klan was onto something.
Okay, I didn't use the words Klan, but come on. Why am I being... What? Now I'm being lynched just because I said we should bring back lynchings. This week's winner is Michelle Tandler, which sounds like a bizarro version of Michelle Tanner, like in Full House, if she grew up in another dimension and became this person. But she's currently living in hell, aka San Francisco, in her mind. And she decided that Easter Sunday would be a great opportunity for her to go into full Klan mode. She tweeted this. Our society seems to have become seriously complacent. 100 years ago in San Francisco, people were publicly hung for their crimes, often by vigilante groups that wanted to send a message. The hangings worked. Crime would plummet after a few of them, often for many months at a time. A few questions on my mind this morning. What changed that the men of San Francisco went from creating vigilante groups to being afraid to even tweet about crime? And what would happen if a few meth dealers were publicly hung? Well, that's an interesting idea, Michelle Tandler.
Hangings work. Hangings work.
Say what you will.
They work. I'm just saying, I'm going off of just very anecdotal evidence because I'm reading the book Barbary Coast about the fucking gold rush era in San Francisco. And I'm leaving out the context that these vigilante groups, again, we hate adjectives, don't we? Mm. Or we don't hate to be specific. You're talking about the Ku Klux Klan and their rise to prominence in the Bay Area during this time. And this is like in the beginning of the century. And so she like wanted to clear the fucking record. And she's like, I only brought it up because I read a book about stuff like lynchings and things, and it worked in there. So I thought maybe it would be applicable here. Okay, sheesh, what the fuck? Sorry. And again, you're still not convinced because this is the wild thing. She kept doubling down, especially when other people were like, this is a disgusting take. Also, like, what are you even saying? Like, and pointing out all the logical fallacies and what she's talking about. She goes on to say, quote, imagine this scenario. It's 12:30 a.m. and your dog woke you up because it needs to go to the bathroom. You walk outside and sleepily shuffle down the street in your slippers. Suddenly, you spot a man, half naked with a comforter draped over him, stumbling out of the park toward you. What do you do?
What does she so weird. Think people's answer to that is going to be?
What do I do? I don't know.
You
maybe
try
that
and
they're,
hang him?
I don't know. I think my first thought is there needs to be more public housing and programs for people that didn't go to Harvard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we should bring back public executions for Harvard and McKinsey alums.
Yes. Did you see that motherfucker, like, Republican donor who they just renamed Harvard's, like, School of Science this motherfucker?
They love naming buildings after evil guys. That's, like, a top activity.
It's our thing. We're Harvard.
They're all named after evil guys. It's just we have to keep doing it. It would be weird if we used a good guy.
But that's what's, like, so wild, right? Is, like, she assumes most people's first thought would be that, oh, yeah, this destitute person needs to get murked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, or what? Or I don't know what. I don't even know what.
That's the example that she used.
What's the proposition? Like, what conclusion are we supposed to go? Like, what do I do? I don't know. I mean, like, if you're fearful, then go back inside or something. But
call your local vigilante leader. He'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Call your local grand wizard. And he'll wizard him away with his KKK powers. You know what I mean? Oh, or it's called lynching. So I don't know. She goes on and on. She's like, oh, wow, I didn't realize my tweet would create such a stir.
Check out my podcast.
Yeah. No, guess what? That's like her company is like some kind of like leadership audio something
or
rather.
Of course it is.
But yeah, she kept bringing up the hard left. And I guess she didn't realize that she was basically reading from the same script as other violent racists have in the past about like a call to arms to be like, I mean, how long are we going to let these freed black people just run amok in our town? And then you get lynch mobs and shit.
Someone's got to do something.
Right. And It's like, it's just, again, we've got another fed up person that thinks like the difficult discussion, because she brings up, she's like, people just don't want, they'd rather virtue signal than have this difficult discussion. Like, so this difficult discussion in trying to solve a drug epidemic and the unhoused crisis is like about determining whether or not they have the right to live.
Right.
This is the McKinsey mindset. This is what they're teaching them.
100. Distill it down to a spreadsheet and figure out like, well, I'm looking at data lynch mobs worked in the past. Maybe that.
I'm looking at some graphs here and
I'm like, yeah, and you're merely just pointing out a sequence of events. You're not necessarily being like, yep, it's causation and it's all there. We got it all. And again, it's like with the way these people think, we see it across the board when it comes to like these kinds of issues that are about, you know, having some empathy and also recognizing that maybe you have resources that could be shared better if you're like hyper wealthy. And I don't know how wealthy this person is, but it sounds like she's speaking for like the wannabe billionaire, millionaire set around her. Like, it's just such a zero sum game that like the thought of progressive taxes is so scary that the alternative is to debate not whether or not they should be giving more, but whether or not these are humans. They're like, right. Ah, no, fuck that. Let's debate whether or not they should deserve to live. I'm not here to talk about taxes. We need to figure out if they're people first up.
Yeah. McKinsey, it's a good group, good company.
Turning out top minds.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Hitting you with the lynch mob takes. Like, come the fuck on. But here we are.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And so the new Super Mario Brothers, Boffo B.O., as we mentioned on a trending episode a couple days ago. And people are up in arms because it's anti-woke.
Oh.
Or no. So they're celebrating because they like Charlie Kirk says Mario Brothers just grossed $377 million, a new record for animated features, despite John Leguizamo boycotting the film because it messed up the inclusion, casting two white men.
That's a good Charlie Kirk voice. He does sound like that.
Nintendo refused to let Mario Brothers go woke. I've never heard him speak, actually.
Neither have I, but I assume.
Oh, he's the most, his voice is so infuriating. He sounds like a guy who you're like, oh, you're a coward. Yeah. Like, I can hear it in the way you speak. Like, you, okay, go ahead.
I was doing a soft Ben Shapiro there. That was my,
Like,
Charlie Kirk is just Ben Shapiro with tiny little teeth.
Charlie Kirk's more like, he's like, we're here.
And like, obviously, Ben Shapiro, he just wait. Yeah. No, we're not.
Steven Crowder, the anti-woke Super Mario Brothers movie just set a global record. They just like need a win, I guess.
Yeah, what? This is sad.
This is my favorite. This is, so Jack Posobiec tweeted, the original creator of Mario, Miyamoto, was heavily involved with the production of the animated film and insisted that it have as little plot as possible and just feel like one of the games. Okay, that's a cool fact. And then he, second paragraph, it has no woke narratives and all the characters are exactly like the original game. So somehow not having a narrative is a anti-woke decision.
That is just so funny. Like, clearly he's misinterpreting this quote where this guy, Shigeru Miyamoto, is like, I think it'll have the most broad appeal if we get to the basics, which is to make it feel like the video game and not have a ton of plot that maybe people have to follow. And I just like that they take that and go, it's because he's anti-woke. Come on, Miyamoto. Yeah. Bring it home.
This is all very funny because coming into the movie, the big narrative was the Mario movie was too woke because Princess Peach is a girl boss who saves the day, and the movie features Mario Kart's Rainbow Road, aka Pride Flag nonsense.
just when you thought the culture war couldn't get any stupider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on it.
Here we go, baby.
They're on it.
Yeah, the woman who I think it, we're referencing this one woman who was like on her live stream talking about how like Princess Peach is like causing like this, like, you know, like boss bitch stuff. It's like, it's going to get women killed.
Oh, they're going to get like, into a cart of some kind and they will be speeding off down a road that's suspended in space somehow. That's made of merely rainbow light.
They're like, no, all this like badass, bad bitch feminism. They're going to start thinking like, you know, if shit goes down, they're going to think, oh, I can start fighting this guy or I can pick up a turtle shell.
No, right. You're wrong. No.
You better find a red one so it knows it's seeking its enemy. I don't trust you with a loose green shell. And I don't know if your aim's that good. But like, that was like the whole, like one of the takes was just like, yeah, women are going to think that they are now John Wick and it's going to get them killed. And this is the future liberals want. Folks, they want to kill women this way.
Princess Peach, who is portrayed as a fierce leader that can and will defend her kingdom. Next to her, Summer saying that Mario, who seems to be just a normal guy at the start of the movie, is bumbling and pathetic, while Peach is a girl boss who saves the day. That is something that like seemed evident from the trailer, is that Mario is pathetic and like kind of they seem to be emphasizing that he is like kind of a dipshit.
He's Mario, you know what I mean?
That's fun. Like that. I love that. So. So I can see how if this movie had tanked, they would have been all over they just want to ruin our family values by making a man who gets beat up and a woman who's tough. But of course it went the other way and they need a win. They need a culture win bad.
So then are they now, they're like, wait, it's gone woke now? Like they're like, just like the whiplash of the takes now. They're like, yeah, good for them. And they're like, wait. Has anyone come back around to be like, actually, it turns out it is kind of woke, so never mind.
I think they were complaining it was woke before it came out and everyone went to see it, but they are so desperate for a pop culture
kind of
win after Ben Shapiro released his like three movies last year that made, I think they broke a record for the least money made by like one of the movies that had the MMA fighter who got canceled, Gina Carano.
Yeah.
they released a movie starring her and it made the least money that a movie has ever made. That was like released in movie theaters. And so they are desperate for any sort of cultural relevance. So they sit back, they wait to see how a movie does, and then they graft their political opinions on the ones that do well.
The Nintendo guy should just fuck with these guys and just come out and just be like, Toad is trans. I don't know what to tell you.
You guys
didn't get that from the movie? He's definitely trans.
You didn't know that? Oh, wow. Okay, I thought you guys were supporting that. No?
Yoshi's polyamorous, ethically, but polyamorous. So.
Yes, obviously. But I guess, it must be really hard to just like think just take L after L in like the culture war that like they really want to be like they so badly want like their fucking Avatar. You should be like Avatar and go back to those colonial narratives. Like, don't you like that? No, maybe not. I don't know. It's about a guy who thinks he's trans species. It's all fucked up. Like, oh, fuck off, please.
That's why it was only the fourth biggest movie of all time.
Jesus.
And now is they're telling them robust? That they can't sing at the Bodyguard musical.
Oh, these poor, this is great.
This fucking rules. So there's a stage, like you could tell me there's a stage musical adaptation of any movie and that it's good at this point. And I'm just like, yeah. That totally makes sense. So there is one for The Bodyguard. It's apparently very popular. It's making the rounds in the UK at UK theater destinations. And people are having a hard time not singing over the actors.
Oh, man. This is so funny because there's another like viral thing like that was on TikTok recently about like people holding up signs at concerts and just like the general, like, what is etiquette anymore at a show? Like, can you unfurl a gigantic banner that prevents people two rows behind you from seeing the fucking stage? Or can you scream at the top of your lungs during a fucking musical because you think you can sing Whitney Houston better than the people in the fucking musical?
I think theater should be more rowdy. So I'm actually supporting these people. I think people should be unfurling banners at Cats. Like, get the fuck out of here, Mr. Mistopheles. I want the crowd rowdied up for theater, you know?
Or we got to make theater a little more dangerous. Those shows. Like, do one that's a sing-along show for the profoundly drunk.
You know, Shakespeare shows, everyone was drunk, everyone was rowdy, the rich guys were getting blowjobs up in the top things. It was it was raunchy. It was real, baby. Bring that
people
back.
On the floor seats. They were doing their thing too.
Yeah. The orange girls were selling sex. I mean, it was a sordid type of vibe. I say bring it back.
Do you see the clip though of how much of a fucking disruption this thing was?
I do want to see it's been described as a mini riot. I personally, like, have you ever been at a concert and like been singing along and people kind of tell you to shut the fuck up?
No.
I mean, if ever, it's been so loud that like I couldn't possibly sing. I get in a theater that's different than being like in an outdoor concert.
Maybe just getting swept away into the Bodyguard narrative. You have to let these people be transported. It's called the willing suspension of disbelief. It's why we go to the theater.
I got shamed at a Radiohead concert in my early 20s.
I was too drunk
at a Radiohead concert.
What song? Let's hear it.
I don't remember which song it was, but I just remember the person looking at me and just like giving the most like
some
stage,
fucking nerd.
Yeah, like stage scoff.
Could you not?
Yeah, I believe they said something directly to me. Couldn't help myself though.
The one time I've shamed somebody during like a performance was I was watching Nine Inch Nails and this guy was juggling like LED ball like light up balls next to me.
Yeah,
I've mentioned this before. Like for so long.
Yeah, that's
like,
public execution territory. Like the
music's fucking. You're
the
hearing
hangings
like
work for people
drag
like
him
that.
Up, draw and quarter him.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's playing Piggy right now. They don't do this live that often. Put your fucking toys down, you fucking herb.
This isn't a rave.
It was tight, man. Like I wanted to get up close. Like I had never seen them, and I've always wanted to see like, you know, Nine Inch Nails, like, you know, my like 90s kid thing. And like, so we're like smushed up pretty close, and this guy needs like elbow room to juggle these fucking balls the whole time. I'm
you
like,
you gotta see how good he is at juggling. That's the main thing. That's what
he did not drop
him. For.
It was kind impressive. Of wild. Like, I'm not joking. Like, this is what he looked like the whole show.
Just
like watching the stage. He was on so many drugs.
He wanted
I was like,
Trent to see him and to like, you know,
hey,
connect.
You,
hey,
bro, get I'm up like, here.
Get up here, man.
We're about to do Head Like a Hole. I'm
looking for something to add to our show, and you've got it, man.
What's your name, man? My name's Brent. Hey, give it up for Brent, everybody. Yeah, thank you so much, man. I've been juggling for about 15 years. I'm really glad to be here. All
that's
right,
exactly
man, shut the
what
fuck
he
up.
Wanted. Yeah, he thought it was going to happen.
There is something with people who like get locked into juggling. Like there's when I used to run, there would be people who like did entire marathons while juggling the whole time for no real reason. Other than, like, but
I get it. You have a nine track mind.
It's like knitting or something.
Yeah, that's
not
good.
Know? It's just their mind needs that.
But yeah. I think that is kind of like why, like on some level, right? I think that's why it's kind of relatable when people do sing at concerts. But then like there's that fine line between like, this is so enjoyable for me. And like, I just want to feel like I'm connecting with like the music that I'm always just singing by myself or whatever. And then there are the people who I think are doing the thing where like, watch me fucking crush this. Yeah. And everyone around me is going to be like, oh my God, you should actually be in the fucking play.
I mean, wait. When I was singing at the Radiohead concert, I did have my back to the stage and I was standing on the seats right directly in front of them.
I was projecting really hard.
I got to hit the back of the room. Stop yelling.
Wait, the Bodyguard song is the I Will Always Love You song, right?
Among that's others, but song. That was where it hit a...
If you hear that song, when that fucking note kicks into overdrive, what are you not going to try? I mean, come on.
I don't know.
That's
I
guess powerful. And you're going to try it.
I've done it many times since time immemorial. I've been singing that song, but part of me knows I sing there's no way I could do it justice that at that point it is more enjoyable for me personally. It's more pleasurable to hear someone else sing it and I'll mouth along, but I don't need to fucking be belting it out. That's my own
song in your heart. That's where it belongs.
All right. Well, this is in the UK, right? So that means everyone is hammered. We need to factor that in. Hammered. And they have intermissions
with gin bars.
At theaters. So you go and get more drunk during intermission. That song's probably at the end. I don't know the show.
Do you have any wine?
No, just gin.
It's a gin mill.
Warm
in there.
Bathtub I'm not gin.
I saw a Glass Menagerie in London. And like, it was the first time I seen like theater in like London. And I was like, oh, this is cool. The amount of gin that was being drank pre-show and during the intermission, I was like, oh, I get why people fuck with that.
The intermission is designed to get more drunk. That's why all British shows have an intermission. Like British stand-up comedy shows have an intermission. So if people get more drunk.
Go re-up real quick. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So we got to factor that into this.
I think
are we as
Americans, if we are getting fucking shit hammered and then had this stuff go on, like, I wonder how violent it would get to. Like,
well, Americans, you'd be worried someone would shoot you. You know, you're like, you know, nothing can stop a solo, like a good guy with a gun, you know, as we all know. So,
as Ted Cruz has famously said. Yes.
Yeah, they don't have guns in England. No one's going to get shot in there over this.
Just really stern looks. It's wild, though, that they brought the house lights up. Like, it was
they cut
people...
the mic.
That's wild.
The actor playing Whitney Houston's role, they cut her mic. The lights came up. The people who were singing in the crowd were thrown out of the show.
Who comes out to yell at you? Like, the director? Like, the stage manager with the clipboard? Who are they sending out there? Please.
They have signs up everywhere that say, please refrain from singing along, like, at this theater. Because it's just such a problem. Because that song is, there's something about it that it just brings out your inner Whitney.
I like that, though. There used to be like riots, like in turn of the century New York, there were these famous riots over plays because one actor was cast over another actor. So it was like back in the day, theater would inspire these passions. People were rioting over a play. It was like a famous thing. Like, let's bring that back. Let's let theater get people stirred up again, you know?
Right.
They used to riot over hats.
There you go.
Yeah, the straw hat riots.
Maybe we just need to be rioting more. Like, look at the French. They try to raise the retirement age 1 year. The French just throw a flaming oil barrel through a cop car immediately. We need that French mindset.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're all too busy working, but maybe with the advent of AI.
Yeah. Maybe these robot dogs can, you know, lighten my workload a little bit. I can go throw a brick at a play.
Your robot dog can take your actual dog for a walk at night, so you don't have to worry about being frightened by somebody
in a blanket. Yeah,
right.
So that was clearly based on something that happened to her that was like the most terrifying thing that had ever happened to her. Harvard McKinsey. Yeah. Ass.
Oh, she's a God. Big robot dog advocate. She's like, put the guns on the dogs.
Pro robot dog for sure. Again, as long as I don't have to deal with it, I don't want to have anything. Look, if it's up to me, I would get rid of them all. I think is kind of like how these people are thinking.
And finally, big news: you can order Domino's pizza with a touch of a button while speeding down the street in an SUV.
Oh, okay.
They're introducing a new feature that will allow you to order pizza via Apple's CarPlay display, so you don't even have to stop continuously burning fossil fuels while ordering greasy slabs of bread and cheese.
Great dough. We love the new crust, though. Love the new crust.
Oh, love the new crust.
Can't you just do it on your phone while you're driving? Like, what are we gaining here in functionality?
Because like the phone is too much of a distraction.
You can't hold your phone.
But your computer screen on your car.
CarPlay is fucking dangerous.
Yes, of course.
Look, and I'm not trying to put myself on blast. I'm way better at finding the music I need to on Spotify on my phone than I am on CarPlay. Yeah. And I'm looking at it while trying to it's very
when it automatically takes over your thing and then you can't it's an extra interface to get used to.
Also, that means the pizza tracker will come up on your car computer through CarPlay and you'll be too busy watching the pizza tracker go. You'll be like, "Ooh, he's making it now. Right. He's picking it up." You're going to fucking slam into someone in front of you.
The tragedy would be that you have a terrible accident with the delivery
the cops
person.
See the pizza tracker on your car. They're like, "Ah, poor bastard. He's dead. Yeah. He'll never get to get the deluxe pepperoni. It's being delivered to his house right now."
Seen it 100 times.
Yeah. I mean, people have expressed concern about Apple's car displays because they have the potential to distract drivers just as much as iPhones. One possible feature reportedly involves CarPlay's display being projected onto the windshield itself.
What?
Because the idea is that then you don't have to take your eyes off the road. You can just be distracted by the thing, by your actual windshield.
You'll just have the worst idea.
Just the most shallow depth of field as you drive. You're like, I'm only literally looking what's on my windshield now.
I was in an Uber the other day and a guy just put on a movie on the iPad that he had right there. And I thought that was very bold. While he was driving. He pulled what off movie? And then just started the movie. It was Die Hard 2. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let him rock.
Yeah. Let him cook.
Die Hard 2 is good.
I'm going to let him cook.
Let him cook. He's like, you like the deep cuts, huh? He's like, yeah. You're like, all right, let's get
when
in the wreck together.
When he stabs that dude with the icicle? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Icicle kill.
When the cops come for that, they're going to be so confused as to
he's like
what killed
you,
this man.
Carl, he's like handing you popcorn in the back. He's like, hey, dude, here comes the icicle part, dude.
Yeah. We did not talk. I just like silently nodded. I was like, I'm going to let this happen. We'll see where this goes.
I remember I put a TV screen in my Honda Prelude when I was in college. And like in the most brute force way, because I had been like pimp my ride brained into being like, you know what? My dusty Prelude just needs a 7-inch screen on it with a DVD player. Mm-hmm. And though the only DVD I kept on there was like disc 2 of season 2 of Arrested Development. And I was just watching Arrested Development like while driving. And I was like, what's up? Like I was picking up people, like a girl on a date. And I was like, yeah, that's Arrested Development right there. She's like,
she gets in. You're like, pretty good episode.
Pretty good one. And then she's like, it's hot in here. I'm like, I can't actually access the air conditioning controls because the screen has been drilled onto that part of the dashboard. So we're going to just have to roll the windows down, Ma. But guess what?
Right.
You can get whatever you want at Cheesecake Factory.
It's weird. The promotional video we'll link off to in the footnotes. It makes it seem like so it's a father, a wife in the passenger, and 2 daughters in the back, and they're waiting at a drive-through, and then they're like, fuck this, let's order Domino's. And the only way to do that, of course, is through the car display.
Right, exactly.
Stop waiting in line at drive-thrus just to place an order. Use the Domino's app on Apple CarPlay instead.
Domino's?
Yes.
And say goodbye to the drive-thru with every tap.
Okay, what should we get?
Ooh, pineapple, mushroom,
pepperoni.
Order carryout on the go using the Domino's app. Now on Apple CarPlay.
No different than your phone. I don't know.
None at all. No difference whatsoever.
And like, if you're going to be safe, you're not driving and ordering the fucking thing.
Well, that's the thing.
Use your phone.
There's a giant unforced error in this in that they edit it to make it seem like the driver is ordering it while driving.
He's driving.
They
driving
show the
his
car
whole family.
Moving,
right.
Edit to him ordering, like making the specific order on his car. Apple
and like, they're even like, wait, what do you want? Showing like the features of it. But I'm like, motherfucker, your head is turned all the way around talking to your kids back there. Being like, oh, what? No pineapple? Okay. What the fuck?
He's going to kill that biker.
Like,
his wife is in the passenger seat the whole time. Like, it seems like she should be able to
order. Take care of it.
Yeah. But he is in an SUV, so if he hit that biker, that there'd be almost no chance of survival. But
and he's in the cop Ford Explorer too.
Great pick.
Yeah, he is in the Cops with Explorer.
Yeah, white one of those gets behind you. Hey, and you're like, a come cop. On. Come on, man.
All right. Well, Carl, truly a pleasure. You know, yeah, I'm glad we got to the Domino story with a foodie like yourself. I'm glad we got to the Domino story.
Thank you. Taking on the prescient issues of the day as as always, as ever.
Yes. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Carl Hess. That's K-A-R-L-H-E-S-S. My podcast about food and comedy is called Yelling About Pate. That's at Yap Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Y-A-P-P-O-D. And the aforementioned show, Amuse Bouche, pops up every few months here in L.A. That's at Amuse Bouche L.A. on Instagram. Post all info there. Lots of fun food pictures and people doing perones right to the face. Top peron content on Instagram.
Oh, man. I got to come out. Yeah. I love everything about what
please,
I'm hearing.
Please come. Please come. We'll do a peron.
Oh, I'll bring the Baja Blast.
Would you allow Miles into the party?
Just because it's Miles.
Yeah.
Just because he's a tastemaker and an influencer. If it's just some random guy off the street, I'd be like, it's a hard no. I'm calling the AEI robot dogs and I'm calling the vigilantes. Get this guy out of here.
I brought my own, and this is my date, Michelle Tandler. She's got a tight 15 on the unhoused crisis in LA.
We're allowed to do the stand up too, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. You start singing during it. You can start singing. You're allowed to start singing at my show. In fact, I encourage it.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
They start doing their own comedy while you're doing comedy? That's the
yeah. I start doing crowd work to counter what's on the stage. Hey, so where are you from, man? Like, what?
the newest in heckling technology. You start doing a different
your
crowd work set
in within the show and just like because you're like, watch, I'm funnier than this.
All right, I'm bringing the house lights up. We've gone too far.
Or you do the thing where you're like finishing punchlines, like sometimes when people love rap, like you can kind of hear a punchline coming, right, like in a rap verse, or they're like for a stand up, like just beating them to it. They're like, dude, what the fuck?
You're at the Jim Gaffigan show, just going Pop Tarts.
The second he gets on stage, is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
You know, I've really been enjoying the simple pleasures in life, with that being Instagram videos where cats are meowing super loud. It's like this whole genre of like cats with like weird or like super voluminous meows. And now most of my algorithm is that and domesticated raccoons. I'm a big domesticated raccoon guy. Shouldn't be illegal in California. We're going to need a whole other show to talk about that.
Yeah.
But a lot of good domesticated raccoon content on Instagram, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I like I remember I was watching a guy on YouTube who had like a fucking like 10 of these raccoons would come in his house.
They
and just like
tiny
lay
hands.
On
they
him.
Can be like your little butler. They can bring you stuff. They got hands. It's like having a dog and a cat mix that has hands. I mean,
Put them to work.
I don't need a robot dog. I just need 8 well-trained raccoons for my new complex out in the woods.
Yeah, to fight the feral hogs
and to help me farm.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can also find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And also 420 Day Fiance, which is coming back very soon with Sophia Alexandra and I. I don't really have any. I haven't looked on the internet enough to know anything that's good. So I don't have anything to share. I feel like Tim Robinson in that I Think You Should Leave sketch. Or like, what's your favorite viral video? that one. Actually, search this. Bozo the Clown redubbed.
Yo, that's coming back.
Yeah, in May. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait.
Exciting times.
Yeah.
Tweet I enjoyed, Rax King at Rax King is dead, tweeted, I'm always skeptical when people call the Bible the greatest story ever told. Like, have you ever seen Roadhouse? You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song. that we think you might enjoy. Hey, Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
Just more sample-based beats. This time, this is from an Australian artist who goes by the moniker Traffic Island, T-R-A-F-F-I-K Island.
Ooh.
And this track is called The Pyramids. And again, it just feels like, I don't know, like Aussie DJ Shadow or something. If you like DJ Shadow, you're going to like this shit. This is called The Pyramids. It's fucking great to have on and just, you know, instrumental music, but with a spooky funk to it.
Spooky funk. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.